Welcome to the WeGo Places podcast, where we catch up with WeGo grads who share with us the story of the journey to their unique careers. I'm your host, Brian Turnbaugh, English teacher at WeGo since 2001, and you just heard intro music from Andy Georgiev, class of 2022. Today, I catch up with class of 2011's Nina Delgado, family nurse practitioner. Nina will share with us how her career in medicine began as a nudge in the form of a gift as a child, and ultimately sparked her interest in healthcare, first as a school nurse, and then as a nurse practitioner, and now as a nurse practitioner with a focus on women's health. Joining us from the class of 2011 is Nina Delgado. Nina, what do you do?
So currently I work as a family nurse practitioner in the urgent care setting.
So Nina, did you always know that you wanted to go into the medical field?
Yes, I did actually. So even before I kind of knew what medicine was, so my mom has this really funny story about how when I was like 5 or 6, we were at like the swap meet or like the flea market, and I saw like a toy stethoscope with like some play band-aids. And I remember like asking my mom or my dad, I'm like, can you buy this for me? And my dad's like, you already have too many toys. And my uncle's like, no, I'll buy it for her because one day she's going to be a doctor and she's going to be taking care of us, you know? So yeah, he bought me that. And to this day, my mom's like, it's wild that you were like this little, you're like, this is what I want to do, you know? And now here you are with your own $400 stethoscope.
Oh, that's how pricey they are. Woo.
Yes, they're super expensive.
Where did you go after WeGo?
So after WeGo, I actually went to Elmhurst. It was then Elmhurst College. It's Elmhurst University now. But I actually ended up going there because my first grade teacher actually ended up taking me on college tours. And out of all the places and schools that I applied to, that was actually the school that gave me the most money. So it was more of financial reasons. And originally, I was a biochem major. I didn't know I wanted to be a nurse practitioner. I actually wanted to be a pharmacist.
Was Elmhurst a direct admit program for nursing?
In my situation, it was a little different because originally I was going there as like a pre-med student. But yeah, they basically, it's like a very strict like schedule. Like you can't deviate because then you're most likely going to end up having to do like an extra half year or a whole another year. But it just worked out that I was already in the science background. So I just had to take a few summer classes and I was still able to graduate on time.
What were some of the earlier classes that kind of validated your choice? Like, yeah, this is, I like this.
So I remember, I believe the last name was Murphy, Dr. Murphy.
Yep. Dr. Murphy, yeah.
Yes, the human pathology teacher.
Yep.
Yes. So his stories about him being an OB and like just like in medicine were very interesting to me. And I had like grown up just like taking my parents to doctor's appointments and stuff. So I had translated a lot of these things already. And I think just hearing about it and why this is happening, and I found that very interesting. So I think that was one of the classes where I'm like, yeah, I could definitely see myself doing this. This is very interesting, you know.
And once you went off to Elmhurst, what was the coursework like in kind of your freshman and sophomore year?
Yeah, so for my freshman year, when you're a biochem major, you basically just hit the ground running. There's like no easy classes per se. It was like biology, chemistry, calculus. And then like your freshman, they called it like a freshman seminar. So it's basically like trying to acclimate college students to college. So that was like my easier class per se, but that class also was not easy. But yeah, the coursework in the sciences is very heavy. It's a lot of studying, a lot of hours. You see other people like, you know, going off on campus and eating lunch together and like on the patio or at the park. And I'm like, where do people find time for this stuff?
Well, I think that's a good kind of follow-up question to that, which would be, how did you find a way to balance time to stay sane and, you know, have the balance of having all the benefits of being off at school, but then how did you then and get the right amount of time to commit to the actual study time?
Yeah, so I think because I actually lived on campus, it was difficult for me to structure my own study time. I think in high school we're so used to like it's, you know, 7:30 to 3:30, and you have like that study hour where you have to study, and then you get home, and then you eat or go to soccer practice, and then after that, then you have to shower, and then you do your homework. So it's kind of like very routine. And I think when it comes to college, everything changes. Every day is not the same. You're also working. You start joining clubs. So I think figuring out that structure was very important, especially for somebody like me, who I just need to know, like, what am I doing next? What am I doing next?
Yeah, that is, because you're right. You're so used to having everything kind of laid out for you when you're in high school. Now you have to be the person who is the captain of your own ship with time and all of that, for sure. So as you were now, like, in the actual act of studying for all of these classes that were, you said, were pretty dense academically, what was your favorite, like, study tip for how to kind of work your way through some of this really imposing material?
So for me, the book is definitely super helpful, but some of these chapters are like 50 to 100 pages long. So they're just mind-numbingly long and no pictures. So you're just trying to like figure it out. But I think for me was going based off like what the teachers would present in class, and then just filling in the gaps with the book or with the reading. I'm like, I didn't really understand what they were saying, so I'm going to try with the book. And if the book still didn't make too much sense to me, then a lot of the teachers in college have like study hours or office hours. So I would take advantage of that. I would always email them and say, hey, can I come in, you know, at your 1 o'clock slot, just to like learn more about this specifically, because I didn't really understand it. And I tried to learn it on my own, and I just also didn't get it. So sometimes you just need to hear the same material instructed in different ways for it to click.
When did you then make the switch to nursing then? So you said, because you start off in kind of like a biomedical focus. When did you know to make the switch to then nursing? What was the what kind of made the decision to go towards that?
Yeah, so Elmhurst has this thing called J-term, where it's like a really long winter break, and you have the option to like take a class during that time or just take a break. But I think in me wanting like as many credits or like to learn more, I ended up taking a class called Immigration and Healthcare Systems. And that to me was super interesting, because I feel like here in the United States, we're so based on just learning one model of healthcare, when there's different ways to view healthcare. You know, there's the holistic approach and the biomedical Western model. And I think learning all those different ways of approaching someone's health makes for better patient care. But it was being taught by a professor who was a nurse. So she kind of really talked about the hands-on and kind of being able to teach that to patients. And at the time, I had actually also shadowed a pharmacist to see if that's actually what I wanted to do. And I'm like, this is talking with insurance, asking the same questions over and over. And I'm like, I didn't feel that same patient interaction that I felt like she was describing in that class. So literally halfway through that class, I asked her specifically, I'm like, how can I transition over? Mm. So she basically helped me like just kind of lay everything out. And they're like, well, I was like a class or two behind per se, just because their like nursing program is so rigid. Like, you need to take these classes. You absolutely cannot fail anything, or else you're behind. You're automatically behind. So I was a little behind, but we were able to structure it with taking actually classes at College of DuPage in the summer to fill in those gaps. So I actually also went to COD in the summer to make up for those classes.
So awesome that you were able to kind of patch in those classes to then get right back on schedule, really, for what you wanted to do. So what was the first then set of nursing classes? When did you actually start maybe working with patients?
Yeah, so the nursing program itself is like 2.5 years. So like the first year and a half is like gen eds and like prereqs. So when I first actually got into seeing patients was my spring semester of my sophomore year. And that's kind of where you start to get that feel of what nursing is going to be like. Well, hospital nursing specifically. And I was like, this is a lot different than what the classes kind of make it seem. So that was very eye-opening. I think I also didn't know any nurses personally, so I didn't really have anything to like base that off of other than just what people would tell me, you know?
So what was the placement for, how did Elmhurst put you in which particular hospital?
Yeah, so basically they try to go by like closest to your home or like to school, depending, because some people commuted, some people lived on campus. So they try to place you not too far from where you live, especially because we had to be there on some days at 6:15 to start picking our patients and kind of going through like shift change. So we were ready for the start of the day. So there'd be days where we would wake up at 4:30 in the morning to get to the hospital, find parking, get there, and in on our floor and with our first patient by 6:15.
What, did you have to do like a night shift too, even when you were in this coursework?
No, thankfully I didn't. But I know of some other programs that do make you kind of do some of those night shifts. The closest I got was like I had to do a afternoon shift at one of the psych units for our psych unit of nursing. So basically whatever class you were taking at that time, that clinical was also paired with that. So if it was like the cardiac unit, then you were in a cardiac unit for 8 weeks. Or if it was mother baby, you were in labor and delivery for 8 weeks. So the classes are also only 8 weeks, so they're just jam-packed and it's just like a lot at once. But at the same time that you're doing class, you're also seeing it in clinic. So it really helps to kind of associate those things as you see them and helps you remember.
So you said that you were on a cardiac unit, then you went to maybe with babies as well. Do you get to choose the various different areas of the hospital, or is it kind of a set? And which ones did you participate in?
Yeah, no. So it's already like set. So in the curriculum, whether you wanted to be a labor and delivery nurse or not, you still had to take that class because it's just part of their recs to pass. Because some of those questions do wind up on the NCLEX. Because once you graduate, it's up to you kind of what you want to do. And they just want you to kind of have a little bit of background knowledge from every unit, depending on where you end up going.
Which rotation was probably your favorite?
My favorite was actually community health, which I didn't even think of as nursing until I took that class. So community health focuses more on like the preventative aspects of healthcare. So it's not hospital nursing. It's like your school nurse or the nurse at your employer or the occupational health nurse that does like your TB screenings and all those other things. So kind of like the before you're actually sick nurse.
Nina, it seems so instrumental that you would have to be a really effective communicator to do what you do. I was wondering how much of that is something that was maybe formally maybe taught during your program, or how much was something that you just kind of picked up on as you were making your way through the program?
So I think in the very beginning, all nursing students feel this way. Like, you're terrified. Like, you're like, I don't want to hurt anybody. I want to do like the best I can. I just want to take care of my patients. And I remember specifically Professor Brennan. She was one of my professors at Elmhurst. And she said something like, Nina, you can be nervous all you want, but you can never let these patients see it. So you're kind of like a duck swimming in the water. Like underneath, you're paddling for your life, but like on top, you're just calm, cool, and collected, you know? And I'm like, okay. And
that's kind of a great analogy.
Yeah.
Well.
So that's just kind of how I've been since.
So is there something that is close to like an internship while you're going through the program? Like, do you then like work? Can you be like a CNA while you're doing your studying? Is there an equivalent to that while you're in the
nursing? Yeah. So basically in certain programs, once you've done like the med surgical unit, which is like the very first unit, like fundamentals of nursing, some places will accept you as like a CNA or like a certified nursing assistant, so you can work on some of the floors. I actually didn't take that route. A lot of my friends did, but honestly, I think I worked in basically customer service and dealing with people. And honestly, I think that helped me a lot, because I don't think we realize how much nursing interactions is actually just talking to people. And some people are still very uncomfortable with that once they get out, because they never had that to have those interactions.
Yeah, it's so true. I remember this summer, my dad had to have a neck surgery, and I would remember being struck by just how clear and concise and confident the nurses and doctors were, and just kind of going through, this is what's going to happen, this is why it's happening, this is what's going to happen afterwards. And everything was so crystal clear. So again, that idea of communication is so important. It's amazing.
Yeah. So that's why, the path, like CNA, like a lot of people are CNAs or medical assistants, and that's wonderful. But for a lot of people that don't go that route, something in customer service where you're dealing with people, I think, is the next best step.
So you graduate, and then tell me about the process of preparing for the NCLEX.
Oh my gosh. So NCLEX is like terrifying. So you're like, I've done all this work for 4 years for this one test to fail and then not be a nurse, you know? So,
right.
Our school actually has us doing, it was at the time something called HESI, which are kind of like mock NCLEX exams or portions of the NCLEX. So we had to take, I believe it was like 3 or 4 different exams, and you have to pass them to graduate. So not only were we worried about NCLEX, we were worried about graduating. And the very last one is just like basically NCLEX. Like, this is based on what that grade that you get at the end of that exam is what they're estimating it would be for NCLEX. So,
so it's a pretty close approximation then?
Yeah, which is like terrifying, because I think for some of the things, I don't know if it was like some people get testing anxiety, they would just bomb it. Like, they just, they're like, this, I don't know if I just like worried or what's going on. And I was actually one of those people. So it was, you had 3 chances to pass this last test because it was that difficult. Most people did it in 2. It took me all 3. And the very last one was the one where I'm just like, all right, you know, if I pass, if not, well, I can't even think that way, you know?
No.
And yeah, thankfully I passed.
3 times a charm, I guess. So I think clearly. Do you find out like right away? Is it like an immediate, like, do you know before you walk out, or do you have to wait time before you get the result?
You basically waited like 15 minutes. So you took the test at like a computer lab, and then you had to like turn in your sheet to the head of the nursing program. And so as you walk in, they already know if you passed or not. So you're basically, I was walking in like shaking, giving her my paper, and I'm like, just say something. And yeah, she's like, you passed. I was like, oh my God. I felt like I was gonna faint in front of her.
Yeah. Oh, that must have been such a relief. Yeah. You're right. I mean, it's interesting how like you know, that you've done all of this practice, all the success that you had working with patients in the hospital, but then it gets reduced to a multiple choice scenario that you have to read. And, you know, and sometimes the scenarios are like, I've read that it's like, this is the right answer, or maybe more of these could be the right answers.
Yes.
They'll have more of them. So that's just a brutal type of test for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But apart from that, then it was like, some people do like the review courses. I didn't opt for that route. I started doing, there was like an app called, I think it was like Nurse Mastery. So, cause I had to work. So I'm like, I have no time, but I did have time like in between doing things where I would do like five questions here. And then every day I would just like increase the amount of questions that I would do. And they're all kind of like worded in the way that the NCLEX questions would be worded. So every day I'm like constantly testing myself, because I think what I ended up realizing was it's not so much about what you know, which you should know your stuff, you know, but it's also, it's a different type of test. So if you've never had to take that type of test, it makes it even harder, because then you are starting to second guess yourself. You're like, okay, well, all these answers are right, but what's the most right, you know?
Great news, you pass. What's the process then to then start looking for work after you pass?
Yeah, so it just so happened that during one of my last rotations in the community health, I actually ended up doing school nursing at a school in Cicero, and I loved it. Like, I loved that interaction. It was a lot of education there because it's kiddos who have diabetes or asthma or food allergies, or they get hurt. So it's kind of like a little mini urgent care, but also with a lot of teaching, because then I'd also get some of the parents coming in and like asking questions. And one of the heads of the department there said if I was ever looking for a job to let her know. So I kind of already had something before I even like graduated. But it's just, I think people can see when you're passionate about something, you know?
Yeah.
So I actually passed my NCLEX, and then I reached out to her, and before I even like was licensed, I kind of already had the job. So I just needed to go through the licensing process, but I started basically immediately after I got my license.
So how many years were you at in Cicero?
I was actually there for 4 years.
When you were in Cicero, what were some of the other kind of, were there any, what were like maybe some of the more common things that you saw that would be the typical day of like what you would have to kind of manage, like in terms of medicines or allergies? You kind of mentioned that, but was there anything that kind of surprised you as like a kind of an emerging type of health concern, good or bad?
Yeah, I think we don't realize how many of these things are very preventable, or some people just don't realize that they are. So for example, I had a type 1 diabetic, like newly diagnosed, and I was always told by my professors it's easier to teach a type 1 diabetic as a child than a type 2 diabetic as an adult, because they're already set in their ways. So I remember having this kiddo who like in the beginning like refused to even take his blood sugars because they hurt, and you know, just kind of like talking him through it and understanding like that this is a big change. And I actually had him from third grade all the way until he graduated sixth grade. And just kind of the growth there is like amazing, you know, and obviously didn't happen overnight. It was 3 years in the making, but just having that impact, you know, of things like that. It's just the little things, you know.
So you stayed there for 4 years. Then what was the next change for you? What kind of led you away from school nursing?
Yeah. So then my mom actually ended up getting thyroid cancer towards the end. And I think in her getting that prognosis, I was obviously doing kind of like my research on it, because I feel like I didn't really know too much about thyroid cancer at the time. And just kind of being able to like tell her, I'm like, yes, I know that we have cancer, but out of all the cancers, you know, this is the one with the best prognosis. It's the slowest growing. And just kind of like educating her on that. So just to relieve her on anxiety. But I think at the same time, I realized how not everybody gets that, you know, not everybody gets that teaching or that education, that if we just took that little bit of extra time, it would literally make all the difference for someone's mental psyche.
Where did you then go after Cicero?
Yeah. So then after that, I actually applied for nurse practitioner school at Lewis. And then I ended up transitioning and working internal medicine and pediatrics at Northwestern. So just kind of being in all these settings was preparing me for FMP, the FMP program. A lot of it is very preventative and like community health based. It's physicals, it's immunizations, allergies, preventative care. So I already kind of had all that knowledge, but now it was just at like building on it.
So how intense was the program at Lewis for to become the nurse practitioner?
So that program was very intense. It actually took me 4 years to complete because usually it's a part-time program. So you can finish it in 4 years, 3.5, really. But yeah, I did it part-time because I was also working. I kind of learned, I think, in my bachelor's, I didn't want to take out loans this time. So I was just kind of paying it as I went. And then also just using my resources, like having work help subsidize some of the costs. And so it just did take a little longer. But I don't know how anyone would do that full-time with a job, because even just taking two classes at a time was rough.
How did you find that the coursework was different than what you did during your nursing program? Like, what's the difference between how, I mean, obviously you're stretched that much thinner because of being employed and just going through life at that point anyway, but now you have this added layer of the coursework. How is it different?
I think knowing that now you're going to be the one in charge of someone's life just kind of adds that even more. Like, I need to know my stuff. Like, I need to study this, like, inside and out, because I'm going to need to be able to teach this to somebody else. So it's a lot less handholding, I think, than in college. And I think in your bachelor's, it's kind of like that transition from high school. But there's still, like, some of the professors would reach out, like, if they saw you struggling and stuff like that. Here, it's like, this is what we're learning. Learn this by the final and or the midterm. And then if you pass that, then we'll go to the final and then that's class. So you basically taught yourself everything. So I think that was even harder for someone who kind of already struggled with structure. So it's making, again, your own structure, your own schedule. So that was a lot harder. It's now just on you. Like, you need to manage your time to learn this.
It's probably like a two questions. Maybe it's the same one, but like, as you had to kind of expand your repertoire of just understanding the body from what you knew before to now really becoming so much more knowledgeable to encompass all that. Was there a system that you kind of the body that you kind of thought, this is really cool? Like, did you find yourself finding more intrigue in respiratory or in cardiac? Like, was there a certain system that you kind of think, like, that's so interesting that the body does that?
Yes. I was actually very interested in women's health. So kind of like that route where taking care of like gynecological issues and urinary, but pregnancy as well. And having a mother go through that and then kind of helping them along the way up until they see the OB. And that to me was like awesome.
Okay. So what's that test like once you finish for going for the nurse practitioner?
Yeah. So that test, I felt like NCLEX was terrifying. This test, I almost fainted going to my locker. So with this test, it was, if I'm remembering correctly, it was 175 questions, but it was like seeing 175 patients in 4 hours. So it was just like a lot of like material that you needed to know and you needed to learn. And it's just a lot of things that you never know what you're going to see in practice. So you need to be prepared for everything. And I, obviously, you're not going to know everything by the time that you take this test. But I think really using that time to kind of be more aware of what's more, the more of the common things, what are kind of like first line things that you would do, what are alternatives, because those are the things that you do see in practice. You know, this patient's coming in with an infection but is allergic to penicillin, you know, we see that a lot now. So just kind of knowing your diagnosis and your assessments and your treatment plan, and that I think was a big part of it. If you walk in there feeling like you know nothing, but then you start kind of taking the test and you're like, okay, I got this. And then you have kind of like a few questions where you're like, no, I'm going to fail. And then you have more questions. I'm like, no, I got this. And it's basically just you doing that for 4 hours.
Yeah, it seems like you were able to kind of keep your cool that much more because you really did have so many years of experience and intuition kind of build up with that. I was kind of go back to this. Do you remember like a recent story or maybe the first time where you felt like, I got this? You're like there was a problem, and it was like, rather than having that kind of nervousness, kind of like the duck in the water analogy, where you realized I handled that with such ease, but maybe former me wouldn't have gotten that. Do you remember like more what were a recent example of where you kind of felt like, yeah, I got this? Like, this was where all of your training, all of your hard work made this a very seamless prognosis that you were able to kind of work your way through.
Yeah. So I've had a few, a lot of women's health issues that like come in. And I think sometimes as women, some things are very taboo. We don't talk about them. But I think kind of having that safe space for patients to be very open. I'm like, I've seen this before and I've seen this often. And I think this is what it is based on what you're telling me. So that I think we should do this testing, you know, and them at first being a little hesitant, but then me explaining why I think it's this, and then going through and then kind of being validated with the results that come back. And they're like, oh, so you do know what you're talking about, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I guess I do, you know?
Well, you know, what's interesting, what you just said there, like, again, this kind of goes back to how effective you are as a communicator, that you were able to kind of, all right, so what do you do now? What's a typical day like for you?
So currently I work at one of the most, I would personally say it's probably the busiest urgent care in the South Side of Chicago. And we see about 120 to 150 patients a day. And it's just everything and anything walks in through those doors. And it's just, you never know what to expect. But it's always, you have your morning rush. And it's like everybody who's like sick coming in for random things, you know, or like super common things like URIs, urinary stuff, cough. But then also like people who get hurt, lacerations, knee pain, people who might need x-rays, stuff like that. So it does help to have that background knowledge of just kind of a little bit of everything. But yeah, so right now it's just 12-hour shifts, but every day is something different. It's never the same thing, you know, twice. So it just
can't. So is it 12 hours a day, but is it a 5 day a week, 4 day? What's the what's a work week then for you?
Yeah, so a work week is usually 6 shifts in 2 weeks. So for example, I could work Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday today, and then next week would be Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
As a continuing kind of education, how do you stay fresh with all new things? Because sometimes there's new medicines or techniques. Like, what's the expectation of always like going through? Is there like a recertification, or how do you kind of keep anew with all information that's happening in the medical field?
Yeah, so there's actually continuing education that you do need to do in order to recertify your license. So you're kind of not forced to do some of these things. Ideally, you should be doing them for your patients, but I think it's also when you come across something new, And I've actually had to do this in practice a few times where it's like something I've never encountered before, or like I've read about it and I learned about it in my program. Like I've never physically seen it, you know? So I think actually reading more about it and learning more, and that's kind of how you just learn, you know? So that's how I kind of go about it. If I didn't know this, I'm never going to let it happen again. I'm going to know it for next time, you know? But it's okay to not know in the beginning because medicine's always changing. So I think it's also important to be up to date or just kind of involved in different medical organizations, reading what they think is best, subscribing to some of their like newsletters and stuff where they kind of have the newest guidelines or what's the CDC saying now, or the American Association of Pediatrics. What do they think about this, you know, depending on your population that you're dealing with?
So, Nina, do you see yourself still staying in the Chicagoland area, or where you see yourself in maybe 5-10 years?
Yeah. So going back to my love for women's health, I've actually recently accepted a position as a women's health provider in the Chicagoland area. So I do plan to stay out there. But now I will be just solely dealing with women's health issues. And I think I appreciated the urgent care setting because I think it provided me a lot of information that I otherwise wouldn't have had. And I think just now specializing in one thing, it's a little less stressful, you know, because now it's like you just need to know a lot about one thing instead of a little bit about a lot of things.
Nia, this has been such a great interview. I just love hearing about everything that how you've learned and all this incredible great work that you've done and how you bring it all together and how you're really just doing such great stuff. And I always like ending the interview with tips for success for current Wildcats. What do you think you would tell them?
I would tell them whatever school you go to, take advantage of all the opportunities that they give you. Because I feel like a lot of the time, especially if for commuters or things like that, you're like, well, I kind of find this club interesting, but I'd rather go home, or this study abroad trip for a week sounds cool, but you know, who has time now? Now is the time. You will not have this time later. So I think just kind of expanding our horizons in that way and trying things that you wouldn't think would be of interest, or that you're kind of like, well, maybe I'd find this a little interesting. Just try it, because you never know where you're going to end up.
Ah, well, Nina, this has been so great. Thank you so much for your time today.
Of course. Thank you. I'm glad we were able to do this today.
Yeah, after the technical difficulties, perfect.
You know. No.
Thanks for listening. Do us a favor and spread the word about WeGo Places by sharing our interviews with other Wildcats on social media. If you want to search past episodes or stay current, subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere where you get your podcasts. Just search WeGo Places. And you can also follow WeGo Places on Facebook and Twitter at WeGo Places Podcast. If you know of a former Wildcat who would be a great guest, send me a direct message on Facebook, Twitter, or even at school email at brianturnbaugh@d94.org.